Welcome to the LLMC Sermon Series, where powerful messages from our missional discipling church will inspire and guide your spiritual journey. Join us as we explore the Word of God together, delving into topics that matter to your life. Whether you're seeking answers or seeking to deepen your faith, this podcast is your spiritual sanctuary. Experience the joy of community and connection as we learn, grow, and transform through the teachings of LLMC. Subscribe now, and let's embark on this transformative journey together. So we've been on this adventure together, talking about the gifts and talents that God has given us from birth and how we're made and our experiences that come into it. So this morning, to drive this home a little bit more, I need a volunteer, and there's a preface around this volunteer. You don't have to speak. You don't have to do anything major. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but what I need is I need someone that considers themselves with a good palate, that they can taste things well. Seriously, is this how we're going to, like, if you make me pick you, then it's going to be the Holy Spirit chose it. So somebody, come on, get everybody off the hook. Come on up. All right, Karen Rush is willing to give it a hand for Karen. Come on down, Karen. Karen, this is an object lesson. And I appreciate you sacrificing your palate for what might happen. So I want to read to you scripture as Karen's coming up. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Yes, up here. You got to come all the way down. And it's not The Price is Right. I'm sorry. You will get a prize afterwards. But now, I share this verse with you because I think a lot of times we look at our God-given talents, our God-given gifts and our abilities, and we forget that when we mix that with the Holy Spirit, beautiful things happen. Also, I think we also forget what happens when we're outside the hand of God and not engaging with the Holy Spirit. So this is beautiful artesian water, very pure. It would be how you were at birth. You were very pure. Now, sin enters into our life at birth because it's passed down in our generations, and there's this whole big stuff about sin. But the fact is that you're pure. You're innocent still. You haven't been able to choose right and wrong. You're there. Could you taste that for me and prove that it's water? Tastes good, right? Yeah, it's pretty good water, right? It's refreshing, right? It's cool. It's tasteful, right? Now, when we go through life, stuff happens to us. And on the outside, we still look like water. Now, taste that for me. You don't have to taste it if you don't want to. You know what it is?
I can tell.
All right. Look at that. She's a trooper. She's not taking a big sip. What would you say that is?
Vinegar.
Yeah, it's vinegar. It's straight up vinegar. Vinegar is acid in water. And see, when you go through life without the Holy Spirit, you might be doing good works, but it's just like vinegar because you're doing it for yourself. Now, this doesn't look like water, does it? But water is the base of this. Water is here, but what happens is this has been some added goodness to that. So taste that.
Sweet.
You can keep it if you'd like. All right, there you go. I have a lid, yes. All right. Give Karen a round of applause. Now see, so often in life, we don't recognize that when we let the Holy Spirit into us, it's sweet, sweet honey on our lips. Get it? The song? Okay? Follow this? See, church, the idea here is in this series is for you to start having some self-reflection, to look at the things that you're good at, that you're able to do well, and then when you couple it with God, it becomes sweet, sweet honey. Sweet tea on a hot day is beautiful. And when we ask the Holy Spirit to use us and engage us, stuff starts to happen. So I want you to keep that imagery in your mind as we continue through this. Okay, so everyone's a gift with gifts to share. That's going to be today's theme. is looking at yourself and everyone else, that you have gifts to share with others, that they are not for us to hide. So Galatians 5, 22 to 23, okay, it says right here, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit, our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. See, when you are working with God, good stuff happens. You should expect it. When you ask God into your space to use you, to take your talents, your gifts, how he's built you and created you at birth, and amazing things can happen. Our gifts are made to share. I want you to realize that your gifts are not for just in your prayer closet. They're not to be kept hidden. They are to be shared, to be used in the glory of God. We are called to life with others. Church, as we go through this morning, the biggest thing that I'm learning more and more being a pastor right now is this. So many people are afraid to do life with others. We give a little bit of ourselves, but we're afraid to go all in relationships. And a lot of times we don't let God into these relationships. We're called to share what we have been given. When we talk about this concept of our gifts being shared, we have to own this. We need to understand. And church, I'm saying this to you because I am a product of this. And we're going to get into that later. I'm going to give you a little testimony. But I need you to understand that, like, I'm not talking about this stuff because I want Lion Lexington to be this bigger church. No. I'm talking about this stuff because I believe that my life and your life is better with Jesus. Amen? Like, that's a pure fact. Your life is better because of Jesus. And when we talk and we share and we engage the world and we pass on the fruit of the Spirit, good stuff happens. The world gets better. So I'm going to talk now and get into some of this with Acts. All believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It sounds almost utopian, doesn't it? Like I've had glimpses of that in my life when I've worked at a camp. Anybody ever work at a church camp? Anybody raise your hands? Some of you, okay. When you work at a church camp, it's kind of like that vibe, right? Like you're all together, you're there, you're sharing some meals. You're in community. People are getting added to their numbers. This passage in Acts, this is what happens when people are allowing the Holy Spirit into their life and working together. This is what happens when you have community. Now, we here at Lion Lexington, we've built a community like this. You have the opportunity to partake in all these things if you want to. And see, we have the gifts of generosity here. People have given things of theirs, have sold things of theirs in order for stuff to happen. You give your time and your tithes and your offerings in, and we take care of others. Matter of fact, you take care of me and my family with your financial giving and Gary's family with your financial giving. See, church, the generosity that flows here, we see that. And I want you to hear this because I think a lot of times we take for granted the community that we've built because we share, not just financially share, but I tasted some good mac and cheese last week. That was some nice sharing going on there of talents and gifts. Nobody had to do that. Nobody had to spend time to make that deliciousness, even though the blueberry didn't win. I still love you all. Won't take it personally. I'm still here. Oh, by the way, last week started Pastor Appreciation Month. I should have won. I love you all. No, but seriously, though, I want you to grab this because we're called to do life with others. If you're afraid to do life with others, please see me. Let's at least sit down and talk about it. I want to hear where your pain's at that holds you from that. Because life with others, you are missing out. I thank God for all of you in this room and the extended body that has been a piece of my life. Our gifts are made to share. When we share our gifts, multiplication happens. See, Jesus' directive to us was go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like, it's there. Multiplication is the outcropping. And when there is a community that is doing life and sharing their gifts together and making stuff happen, it's amazing. And then people want to see it. They want to grab a hold of it. They want to see what God's doing. They get curious. And numbers grow. Now, numbers can always grow at things like this, too. You can throw a big, huge concert and get a bunch of people there, but it's not going to be sweet, sweet honey forever and ever. Amen. There's a difference. There are things in the world that are attractive that can multiply through humans' gifts, but they are not long-standing. They will not have the fruit. I'll give you an example of this. There's a fellow, Drew Holcomb. He has a band, Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors. Some of you might remember the song I played when we were on lockdown online. It was called Family, Family. Remember that song? Yes, give me some nods. Okay, so I got to see him in concert on Wednesday, and he said something that I really love, and he said there's something about live music in a group of people. And I'm like, yeah, I get to have it every Sunday. Amen? Like, there's people that pay good money to get together, to sing songs together, and they don't even get to feel the joy of the Lord like we get to feel on a Sunday morning. See, church, that's what happens. When you're in those spaces, it gets to multiply. Stuff starts to create. Things happen. And see, when we do this, I want to highlight this. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. See, church, when we're doing this, we should expect more. We should be preparing to open our arms up to others that come in so they can also partake in the glory of God. But so often, we don't expect that out of ourselves. See, if you notice, it doesn't say here certain people will invite certain people. No, it's this outflowing that goes on, that God uses us. When we pray on a regular basis, when we engage on this stuff on a regular basis, when we wake up and say, God, use me, he will. He wants to, and it might be small or big. Because it's all for the glory of God. Now, here's three responses to sharing our gifts. One, we will live life in community and not in isolation. Gary, you and I both know, and we see it a lot, that when someone lives in isolation, they're going through pain. Does it naturally get better? No, it naturally gets worse, right? Every time. Living life in isolation is wrong. It's not healthy. It's not good. And God made us to be in community. Church, if you know people that are living in isolation and they're on your heart, start praying for them to have a conversation with them, to meet up with them, to engage them. If you know they're in isolation, you're letting them be, that's not good. It is good to at least check and to make sure. They might say, hey, I'm not ready for anything. That's fine. Or there's people that are showing up here on a Sunday morning, but they might not be reaching out to others. If you're in isolation, you're isolating yourself, please stop. Gary and I are here. Our elder team is here. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing the meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Notice what they're dedicating themselves to. There's a devotion to the teachings, the fellowship, the sharing of meals, and to prayer. Church, communal prayer, communal eating, these are things that we do on a regular. This is what marks us as the body. This is what God wants from us. It's this continual engagement together, not just on Sunday. Does that make sense? It's hard, right? I mean, in our day and age, it is hard. There's a lot of things that can take you away from this. But the fact is, this is what it looks like in its purity. It's sweet. BARDA has a statistic here. The majority of U.S. adults, 68%, and especially practicing Christians, 84%, agree they feel they are able to make good use of their giftings. Whether this plays out in church, at home, or in their local community, people generally feel optimistic about putting their unique talents and abilities to good use. It's really simple. And if for some of you are like, Scott, I know this already, amen, then keep doing it. Keep encouraging it. And if for some of you this is new, like, well, Scott, it's really easy for me to play music. I'm looking for that Holy Spirit moment where I'm doing things that I'm not used to doing. Well, that happens. But at the same time, maybe your gift of music or your gift of teaching or whatever gifts you might have that you're really good at, those are spaces that maybe you should be asking God, use these more. Because I promise you, life's better, in my opinion at least. This is my own personal opinion. I don't know about the rest of you. But when something comes easy to me, I'd rather be doing that stuff than the stuff that comes hard to me. Right? I mean, does anybody else agree with that? Like, yeah. And when I ask God to use it over here, I get really energized. It's fun. Yeah, God uses me in difficult situations over here, but it's tiring, it's taxing, it's wearing. I can do some things over here all the time. Like, you give me a bunch of youth, I can hang out all weekend with them, no problem. You give me a bunch of adults, we're going to have to work at it. I still love you all, but it's a different experience. Then there's some of you who are like, do not give me middle schoolers. No. And middle schoolers, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Right? So again, I want you to see this because see, so often we take these things that we're good at and we forget that God wants to use them. We are generous with our gifts. All right? And I'm going to read this again because I want us to soak into this. I want us to get this in our heads. All the believers devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. I want to catch that there. Performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. See, when we engage in this, when we are having this response of being generous with our gifts, stuff is going to happen. I wrote this thought. I said, we recognize that just as God has been benevolent with us, we are called to be benevolent with the gifts we have been given. When we are, our community thrives. And I'm going to share a story about this little lady, something that happened in my life. But I want you to understand something that, like, so often, and I heard it this week from a friend of mine. They said, well, Scott, that's really easy for me to do. I don't really think that's special. And I said, well, when you add God to it and then you get to go do something, then all of a sudden it becomes even more special. But the fact that you're gifted at doing this thing and then you let God into it and then God gives you inspiration and now you've affected someone else and you've blessed someone else. So often we take that stuff for granted. How many of you have ever gotten a card, a text message, or a word from a friend right at the right time? Anybody ever experienced that? Some of you, yeah, right? It's amazing. It's like God took a moment out of his busy schedule running the universe to touch your life through someone else. That's a miracle. That's a miraculous sign. Anytime you point to God's hand in your life, that's a miracle. And if you start to be dull of that and you start to be like, you got an issue. Because God is moving in your life. Part of it is to get used to God moving your life. You should be expecting God. You should wake up and be like, God, I can't wait to see you today. And if you didn't see him, you better start hunting for him. I don't know if that was me or not. But does that make sense when I'm saying that? Church, give me some nods on this one, right? Because I'm watching people and they're discrediting God moving in their life because they're looking for big, huge things. And they're forgetting that some of the little things that they do because it's simple to them is big for someone else. We witness God grow our community. Okay? I can tell you this right now. And in our community, I want you to look at yourself as the center of the community, not Line Lexington for a moment. I want you to think about your own life and the community of people around you that you would call your people. that you know have your back. They probably weren't always there. They came into your life through different circumstances. And there's been friendships and relationships that over the years, maybe there were some hardships you share, maybe there were some joys that you share, but you started to have people around you that know, that care about you and have your back in life. And you know that no matter what happens, they're going to be there for you. And whatever happens for them, you're going to be there for them. See, as you go through life and as you share your talents and gifts, and as we share our talents and gifts out to our communities, as we share what God made us, as we share these things, as we allow the Holy Spirit to come into us and then gift us even more, as we keep doing that, there is going to be this stuff that happens. 3.5 years ago, my community got really big. And there are some of you in this room that we've walked through some crazy stuff together. And I know that this church is my people. Does that make sense? So I don't want you to miss out on this and take these things for granted. And the scripture's here again. And I'm going to read it again. Why? Because God really put this on my heart. That we need to be reminded over and over that here we are. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing and to meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them. All this fear of God, this awe-ness, right? You get to see God in action around you. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in the homes of the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Church, that's us. We're not always in that perfect form, but that's why we're here. And that's what we do. So I want to share with you just a brief moment here, because I was struck, and the highlighter affirmed me this morning on this. I was struck this past month about where God has brought me personally in the journey and the people. As I've been working on this series with you all, I wanted to share some highlights of my life. And I'm doing this not to say, yay, Scott. No, I'm doing this because as your pastor, as someone that's here to teach you, I believe that sometimes I need to put myself out there to you all and share with you some things that I've experienced in my life. So the first thing is October 2007, this month, Heather and I launched a ministry called 6 Degrees Cafe. Now, I don't know if any of you even remember that back then. Probably none of you do. I think Gary might vaguely. I don't know. But it was an outreach setup where we opened our church up to be a coffee house. Had live music and kids and people came. And it was this really cool thing for a few years. And it taught me how to be prepared for whoever came through the door. And God brought people into my life that I'm still friends with today. And it blew me away that as we were being generous with our church property and opening it up on a weekly basis, that stuff was happening. I still have that t-shirt, by the way. I still fit into it. In 2010, October, same month, 3 years later, because when we started 6 Degrees, I was in the process. I wasn't a pastor yet. I was in the process of being licensed. 2010, I was ordained. And it's funny to me to see where God has moved in my life since then, and for Heather and I to be doing ministry in a lot of different ways. But I promise you this, getting to that point of being ordained was not a fun ride. It was really messy at New Eden at the time. And it wasn't fun per se, but I saw the joy of the Lord, so I stepped into that space. And that's when I started preaching on a regular basis. And I wanted to show you this because this really cracked me up, because on the left side, I'm singing a Christian heavy metal song when some of our youth wanted to play in the sanctuary. And then on the right, we're doing 4-part harmonies. And it cracked me up a little bit at where God was in my life, because I always love music. I love being around music, and I'm very, how should I say? Like, I just love music. Like, it's always there. Like, I'm singing all the time. I like to play instruments. I was playing my guitar last night. And when I saw these pictures, I was like, yeah, like music, even when I was a kid in high school and all that. But see, I never liked doing music by myself. I always love it in community, in teams, around people. And my church people have always been there for that. And there's this space that I noticed in this picture is that here in the sanctuary, even here this morning, there is something peaceful and joyful about being in a church sanctuary to me. Now, see, something happened in 2011. And I need you to understand this, church, because when we talk about giving ourselves to God and we don't know what to expect on the other end, but being sacrificial, I was very sacrificial in my life in Pittsburgh at Mennonite Church USA convention. And it was very put on my heart to submit 5 seminars that I felt that the greater church needed to be changed in when it came to youth ministry. And there were these 5 areas. And out of those 5 things, 4 were taken. And I was expecting to maybe talk to a hall of like 100 people. And God used my words, and he took me into this space where there were hundreds of students that wanted to be this teachings. It was about reaching the lost. It was about how to have a prayerful life. It was about how to engage students that you're not used to having in your church and how youth leaders need to step up and go out in their communities and not wait for them to come in. And as I taught, I need you to hear this. This was a quote that someone posted on Facebook, and it cracked me up because I'm one of the most captivating speakers this trip was Scott Roth. I didn't think anything of it because I was just talking about things I was passionate with. But there was one point, and I'm sharing this with you because it blew my mind away. At one point, they had an encore presentation of one of my seminars. They put me in the hallway of the convention center because there wasn't enough people. There was too many people in the last one that I was at that they had fire code issues. And that's this picture here. I just stood in a hallway, no PowerPoint, no nothing, and I had to project my loud, gregarious voice out over a crowd of a couple hundred. Now see, church, I'm sharing this with you because I was not built in my mind to do this kind of stuff. But yet somehow God knew it would be okay. And I'm sharing this with you because when we take the things that we're good at, like mine's leadership and teamwork and talking, and then we let God in on that, things happen. In 2012, October again, notice this month of October for me, that's the bike shop. Maybe you've ever been to a bike shop, that's what it used to look like. And I started working on this project with these teenagers from our school and our church and all these things. And I watched God move again in spaces that I had no idea. I've never been a director of a nonprofit. I don't know how to build buildings. I don't know how to do all this stuff. But God just kept moving. And I just kept going with it. And I kept praying every day for me to be used and our family to be used. And then he puts me in Perkiomenville Mennonite Church. And I'm praying on prayer walks with Charlie and others in our town, and I'm watching the community around, and I'm watching things explode because we're praying together. And I'm watching stuff happen. I'm watching God move, and miracle after miracle. And then somehow I end up here. This is me and Brooke a couple years back. And I didn't want to be here in the beginning, like long term. And now I can't imagine any place I'd rather be right now. And I watch God take me and say, here I am, Lord, in my brokenness and my beauty and the craziness that goes on in my head some days, and here I am. Somehow he takes a guy like me, guys and gals like you, and he creates this beautiful, sweet, sweet honey. And all I know is this, when we do it together, it gets even better. And I don't know sometimes why you all keep showing up on a Sunday morning, because I know it's not because of me. And every Sunday, I experience a miracle in front of me, because all of you could choose somewhere else to be, but I know that God's moving in your lives. And you want to come and see what he's going to do this day with you. And I know he's gifted Dan and others to be up here to sing and to create a space for us to worship and to just shed the week and prepare for the new. So, church, I implore you to take your life and give it to the Lord on a daily basis. Submit to his authority and see what he's going to do with you. And then step back every once in a while and watch the highlight reel. Because when you step back and watch your highlight reel, you get encouraged to know that he's brought you through some pretty crazy stuff. That also means there's some crazy stuff to go.
Thank you for joining us on the LLMC Sermon Series. Until next time, may your faith continue to flourish and your spirit stay uplifted. Remember, you're never alone on this journey. Stay connected with LLMC and keep the spirit of community alive in your heart. Wishing you blessings and inspiration until we meet again. Take care and keep seeking the truth.